Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't gonna happen. First of all,
anybody watched what he talked about today, the president, one comment, yeah, I'll sit down with the House. I'll sit down with him. Heck, I'll buy him dinner. He ain't buying dinner, I am, and he ain't worth nothing to take a talk.
Exactly. His idea of negotiating is he gets his way 100%. He's been a spoiled brat his whole life, and he continues to be that way off the taxpayers' money.
Well, he won't give in if he don't get his own way.
Well, you look at what's going on where, you know, he's trying his damnedest by the things he's pulling to hurt people instead of trying to weather the storm and keep the least amount of people from being hurt. He is purposely trying to hurt people. Veterans, children. But yet, he will block our veterans from going to the war memorials. He will set up stuff to keep you from looking at Mount Rushmore. He will tell you that you can't fish in the ocean in the sea. What the hell? Oh,
that was nice.
And, you know, he's just overstepping his boundaries.
Not only that, the Amber Alert. Oh, come on. If your child gets stolen or kidnapped, I guess is what the word I want to think of, they shut it down?
But they kept Michelle's healthy food thing open.
And then today, what they did? They let the mall open for immigrants because they pursued the First Amendment. I'm sorry, you're a legal immigrant. You do not have rights right now.
You're a foreign invader. You're not an illegal immigrant. You're a foreign invader. You knowingly entered another country against the laws of that country.
Hell, I'm ready to go down there and go start the mall open. Lenny, you want to go with me? Let's go down there and tell them we got a First Amendment.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's coming. I see where the veterans are gathered together. There's going to be a million veteran march on D.C. You got the truckers march coming up. And then you got another big organized thing, and I plan on trying to attend this one. That'll be the Tea Party, bikers, truckers, and
all of them.
Everyone combined.
This is like a grand show for him right now. I'm sorry, that's all.
But
I
mean, what good does that do? We put the biggest protest crowds in Washington D.C. that's ever been there on 9/28 a couple years ago, and on 9/12.
Exactly, Ron. And this is a grand illusion.
And our media played it like we was just a small minion crowd. You seen that with the bikers. They blocked the video things to make it look like the highways were empty.
Yep.
And they're saying, oh, 3,000 truckers may show up. Folks, I got a lot of family that's been truckers. And I can tell you something. When they get something in their head, I doubt that. I think that number 3,000 that the leftist media is trying to shove out there, like, oh, that's all that's going to come. And they'll probably block the video camera stuff so you don't see them all there and stuff. But when you're shut down for 3 damn days, there's no way you're going to be able to keep it all quiet.
No. You know, talk about saving money. They're costing us more money to shut down. I mean, look how much they got to pay for the police. Look how much they got to pay for all this.
It cost them more to put their barricades and stuff up than it did to keep the place open.
And I'm not sure, but I thought I read where he had to pay $1 billion to the company that made the Obamacare on the internet because it messed up. What the heck did he get that money from? You and me.
Well, I noticed that they seem to have an empty purse strings when they go around the globe. They're promising this country this many billion in this, and they're promising this country this many billion in this. And you look at the stimulus. What did they do? They gave money to their cronies that were supposedly in the green energy businesses, and then them cronies gave money back to the Democratic Party, and then they filed bankruptcy.
Had their pockets.
Exactly what they've done. They've been using us. Those illegal aliens that was out there today, well, that was instrumented. You've seen the SEIU, the AFL-CIO, and several other unions there.
Well, there's so much going on. I mean, you know, we could talk about everything. Just like they're going to call it a priest in the army, chaplain, treason because he prayed. Holy shit! That's going overboard.
That's, yeah. It's like certain religions or this or get buys and passes on everything. You notice the Muslims, when they had their little march, they had a permit.
Yeah.
And today, I bet you them illegals had a permit.
Yep.
But they wouldn't give the bikers a permit.
Oh, they wouldn't give the bikers. None of the American people.
I doubt they gave the truckers a permit.
You know, it's going to get to the point, nobody cares if you need a permit to do what you want to avoid. I mean, you know, this place is going to hell in a bad
way. Mitch McConnell, when Bush was president, I used to wonder how far up Mitch's butt George had to stick his hand to make Mitch's mouth move. And it was over amnesty. And it was over amnesty and immigration. I was fighting Mitch a few years back with him, Bush, and McCain, along with Harry Reid and Ted Kennedy. There's an agenda on to destroy the American culture. You flood it with a bunch of people who aren't American.
And they fight against the laws.
Who aren't trying to assimilate. Who want to make this the country that they fled. Or who you're bringing in, how many foreigners are you bringing in from over in the Middle East per year now? It's like 2 million, a little over 2 million.
And the sad thing, they got more
now
right.
Now bring over to block the ocean.
I'm going to block the ocean from what? The fish to turn around and swim?
I don't know. They just blow my mind. And like I said, he didn't try to divert this to bring about the least amount of pain. Instead, he tried to make this inflict the most amount of pain as possible. But it was a slap in the face to every legal citizen in this country for him to refuse and a slap to all the veterans.
Amen.
For him to refuse them into their memorials and stuff, which are outside. Nobody maintains that. You know, it's like not like you got to go up there and those guys got to walk you through it. But he'll open it up for illegals and claim their First Amendment. Well, you're going by the Constitution. If you're going to do that, we have other laws. We have immigration laws. And by not enforcing those laws, you are aiding and abetting. You are co-conspiring with foreign invaders. That's treason. You've committed treason on so many different fronts. You violated the Constitution on so many issues and things and went around Congress and ignored the will of the American people. And you'll say you won. But if you look at any poll, health care has never been a popular thing. Your health care law has never been a popular thing. But you've done one something now. I'm noticing, I was talking with Linda about this today, fellas. I'm seeing an awful lot of Democrats leave the Democratic Party. And most of them I talk to say they're leaving it because of the health care bill. Now, to me, that put a big smile on my face to think of that these Democrats are now jumping and turning on Obama because of his signature legislation that was illegally brought in to be as it was. Justice Roberts had no right to change anything. It was illegal. Throw it out.
And the hidden thing, what's in that bill.
Yeah, the thing that nobody's ever talked about yet. So many things in there that nobody's talked about.
And it's scary.
Beyond scary.
And Yola, evidently they don't know how to read very much in Capitol Hill because they ain't read nothing before they signed it. They just signed it.
No, and that's so
they
ridiculous.
Signed everything without thinking. Obamacare, the immigrants, everything. They don't read. They just they wait. And I was listening to this today. They actually said, they wait up on the hill until it is a crisis before they sign something. Well,
you look.
Evidently they do because they
just had a 5-week vacation.
No.
They just had a 5-week damn vacation right before all this ruckus started. They have known this was coming. Here is the real silliness, and I'm sure some of you out there are catch on what I'm saying. They're going to try to set the debt ceilings. Another, let's say $2 trillion higher, at $19 trillion, right?
I think we passed 20.
Wait. But if you go right now at the debt clock, U.S. debt clock, and you go to the top right-hand corner and click on 2016, it's going to show you a $22, almost $23 trillion debt So what the hell good is this doing when you just keep raising the ceiling?
And that's not adding
and
some.
You're not paying nothing. You're borrowing more. If you don't believe me, look at that U.S. debt clock and look at what your personal liability is. And watch what happens after they pass this budget. What's your personal liability? And that's your children's liability and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren's. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. And they do this paying for their stuff that they spend. They kick paying for it down the road so they can say, well, look, it's only this much of a debt. I want to see the, and I think the American public deserves to see the actual total debt. Put it out there.
The correct numbers.
Yes.
Not the government math, like we discussed last week.
Well, you know, I really don't.
No, I'm not surprised.
I really don't give a crap.
I'm really not surprised.
Yep.
I mean, Doc, you got a good point. Like I said, I'm not surprised, though.
So are people going to get their welfare checks?
They live better than I do.
That's right. We can't pay it back.
Well, that's true, right? We can't pay the interest on what we owe now, and their solution is to borrow more.
For 3 months. They just want to do it for a three-month period. They don't want to fix the thing. They just want to do it for 3 months. Then when it's time to do it again, they'll have another shutdown because they're idiots.
Yep.
Well, I've seen a parody today, and I've said this before. Do you ever see them fighting over reducing the debt limit?
No.
It's always about raising
the debt limit.
It's never about reducing the debt limit.
Have you ever heard of being not in debt?
No. I think we've always been in debt. We're not as bad as
that. Right. Social Security has nothing to do with it. It's a budget item. It's not has to do with part of the debt.
Right. Well, it's like I heard Beckel say yesterday, they ought to take and cut and shut down Social Security and Medicare and all that, and if there's any money taken, give it to the government. First off, it wouldn't be the government's money.
No.
There's
our money. We the people.
That's the biggest point. So many misconstrue that the government has money. No. The government has its pockets filled from reaching in and taking it out of your pockets.
That's right.
I agree. Shut down the welfare. All it is a, you know, somebody made a comment a year ago on some situation.
Well, the last thing you want to do is give 30 million illegals amnesty.
Welfare is nothing but a crap.
How is that going to help us?
It ain't helping us.
Yeah, we're in debt. Just bring more people in.
There was there was a huge amount stolen last year, fraudulently stolen out of our tax refund money, whatever, tax money, by illegals. And when they tried to put in a law to something that would stop them from doing that, Harry Reid rejected it. Didn't want to protect our tax system from fraud.
No.
I think welfare is nothing but a handicap for people that don't want to work. That's exactly what all it is.
There is a lot of lazy ones.
And unfortunately, if you go out and look, you'll see that they do better than most people that are working. Gee, how does that quotation work?
Yeah, they spend more a month on food stamps for food than a person working could buy.
Another phone agency, exactly.
Yeah, $1,000 a month on some people? Come on. People at Cummins don't even pay that.
What?
I'm at $1,000 a month. They give some people on food stamps.
That's just ridiculous.
What about the places? Well, how did them big tanks go over?
Well, wait a minute. It's ridiculous right now, but give it a little bit, and the government's going to force the price of food so high that $1,000 a month would be cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Mr. Rod's got a good point. And you know what's really the gripe about all this, Rod? Is that we still help people overseas, the poor, everything. We can't even take care of our own.
We can't even. You, how many homeless do you see in New York?
Oh,
you see fine. Everywhere
you
in
even,
the world. But yet,
you don't even got to.
Stupid places tell you, hey.
You don't even got to go. You don't even got to say that. Talk about the poor in other countries. You can talk about all the money that they're giving to our damn enemies.
Exactly. They're giving all the
Muslim
money.
Brotherhood.
Take care of all them.
Around the globe, how much money is he given to the Muslim Brotherhood? Has anybody got a total of that?
That's sad. The people what bomb does. Give you money. Yeah. Our money.
Yeah.
Our tax money. That's why he's giving.
He's attacking Al-Qaeda in Libya and where was the other ones? Kenya, Sudan, someplace. Anyways, but then he is helping arm Al-Qaeda in Syria. He's doing the same thing as I accused Egypt of, and that was playing both sides of the fence. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, the same sense he's playing as all, too.
Oh, yeah, Rob, that's what I'm talking about. He's arming our enemies. He's giving them billions of dollars and stuff. And in my opinion, Benghazi was about a gun-running operation that him and Hillary and all them were involved in, and they were supplying the Syrian rebels with weapons already. You understand, when I say I'm against illegal immigration, I am. It does not mean I'm against the people.
No. If they want to come here right, that is fine.
I have nothing, no problem with people coming the right way. But what I have a problem with is there are people who have followed our laws and are still sitting in line. 15, 16, 17 years, they're sitting in line. They can't come.
Exactly. All these people here are going hungry, but yet we're sending all the money and all the stuff overseas to help the poor. Nobody ever stops.
Well, they're regulating our
things.
They're regulating your. They're trying to regulate your food production for one thing. Think of it. We're growing all this stuff here in the United States, and they're shipping our stuff to another country, and they're bringing us the stuff from there. I would rather have our own stuff. I love living here in the little south part area where we live.
My own stuff.
Yeah, well, we can do that. We have gardens, our own gardens and stuff. We can go over here to the neighbor's growing stuff, and he's selling a little bit of stuff out there by the roadside. Go over and buy you some stuff there. You know where your food's coming from. You know it's been grown right. You know it's not been tampered with. And we still hunt fish. We pick up morel mushrooms in the springtime. We persimmon trees and whatever. Self-provision.
Exactly, we're on to shut down everything. Heck, damn, it was affecting even that pay. The army guy,
chaplain.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just that you got people that are. Coming home and their families aren't getting the money to bury him or whatever. I don't know what the deal is there. Like I said, he's not trying, you know, you got something like this happening. You would think a president would try to make it as easy on the people as he could. But we have a president that is doing his best
to
inflict as much harm on the people as he can.
And the worst part about it is you and I can't do anything about what's going on up
there.
Well,
only on his enemies. And I say that, and you can look, because of what he did with the veterans' memorials and stuff, to me, he's an enemy of our veterans and our military.
Yes, he's an enemy to all of us. And it's not just him.
No, it's not. All these people who think they're somehow super above or super whatever, they don't, like Pelosi and all them, don't realize that the global agenda comes into play. Well, they no longer serve any purpose at all then. They'll be the first ones done away with.
I agree. It's more than unfair, Doc. I'm a vet. Bill's a vet. I'm sure some others that are listening aren't. You know, I might have not been in World War II, and I might have not been in Vietnam, but I still serve my country. What the hell did he do? He ain't even served our country. Why does he even worry about what they're doing? It don't cost them any money. It don't cost the government any money to run those damn things. We paid for them out of our pockets.
Amen. You know, we come from, Lonnie and I, and Chad, we come from a family that's full of veterans, people who have served the military. All of our uncles on our side of the family here, they all served the military.
Our fathers did.
I have a son that that served. I got a daughter serving now. You know, we understand that. And we try to put instill in them the same things that were instilled in us by our fathers and by our grandfathers and by our mothers and everyone else. And that was a love for your country. And if your country was going to go to wars or whatever, you had a duty to serve your country. And apparently my family took it pretty to heart because it seems like we all did. And I just don't understand how we've gotten to where we're at.
Greed.
But I do understand some things. I do understand mathematics, and I don't do assumed math. I'm a physics major. I don't mess with assumed math. I can only deal with real math because otherwise I'm making an ass out of you and me by guessing. And that's all it is. They can call it whatever they want, but most of your government, when they give you some kind of report, it's guesswork.
Yes.
It's assumed.
They never give you the true
CBO
number.
And I know everybody in the chat room knows this about it, but somebody maybe listening out there on the radio doesn't know this. The CBO, it only gives you the math from the numbers that they're given. And the problem is when Democrats and Republicans both have given in bills, they don't give all the numbers. So the CBO is rarely ever right. And it's not their fault. It's because they don't get the true numbers, but they're bound to go by to put out with what the numbers they get.
Callers, welcome. Welcome, callers.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
Just a listener in Southern Indiana.
Okay, who else do we got?
Who else?
You know, it occurred to me, and I think I've had this conversation a couple of times, and I was prompted to post something on the Patriot Families in the blogs. That tries to explain it a little better. And I was having this conversation or debate with a couple of guys on one of the other forums today. The problem is that we don't comprehend the game. It looks like a game of chess. It has what looks to be a chessboard. It has kings, rooks, knights, pawns, bishops, a queen, opposing colors, black and white. It sure looks like chess. And so we're trying to play chess by the rules that we know chess is played by. They're playing by a different set of rules because it's a different game that they're playing. And until we can fully understand what the game is, and the game they're playing is a game of legalese. And that's why I posted just a little snippet from the writings of Rousseau.
Okay.
And if you read
yeah.
it, and it's pretty short, it says, if it were possible to make citizens out of human beings, then the autonomous collective would become a self-governing, free, real unity of equal citizens. Now, what they're saying there is if you could somehow transform a living, breathing human being into a not living, breathing person, in other words, a creation of the mind, or what's called a legal fiction, okay, a corporate person, if you will. So if it were possible to make a corporate straw man person out of human beings, they would be autonomous, and that means having the right of self-governance, having the right or power of self-government to govern itself. And what do you know? How do we go about creating this self-governing collective? We vote for them. And the government, which is only a construct of your mind, government is not a physical thing that you can touch, see, or smell. It is a collective. It's a collective of human beings that are no longer human beings. They're acting as a collective, self-governing unit. If you look at a picture of the House of Representatives on television, on the internet, wherever you may find it, you will notice that on the wall, flanking either side of the flag, there are two what are called faces or fasces. They're fasci. What that is a bundle of reeds with an axe head, meaning the collective group is stronger than any one individual reed that makes up the group, and they wield the power. They go on to say that the social contract, constitution, mind you, therefore must be interpreted as creating a new entity. We call it federal government, in this case, the people, or the republic, i.e., the state. So, the social contract, which it's not a social contract, but that's a whole other thing. The state, which is the personified autonomous collective itself. So the thing created is the thing that has the right to self-govern. You and I no longer possess that right. That artificial person, however, the creation, government, the state, can only come to life if the living human material, human beings that are elected, that constitute it, takes the form of citizen. If it can be made to identify fully with the state, they identify themselves as America, as government. I mean, how often do you look at these people up there in Washington, D.C. and say they're out of touch with reality? They identify themselves as government. They see themselves as a single ruler, even though they may have differing opinions amongst themselves. That really doesn't matter in the long run. They are subjects and serfs of the people, who is a single sovereign person. Government is the sovereign, single sovereign, made up of a collection of a bunch of make-believe things created from the human mind that we call citizens. Therefore, the state, i.e. the people, may use force against them to free them from their own human nature and to make them into what they have committed themselves to be by entering into the contract, citizens. So they can force you into being government. Okay? Because the collective alone has the power and authority to be self-governing. You, as a human being, you can't even be part of government. Because a human being would be a sovereign. And there's only room for one sovereign in government.
Okay. Who's the other caller?
I'm listening.
That's all right with us.
He was on a roll there, and I wasn't trying to interrupt him. I have an idea of what he's speaking of. And there's a lot of talk of that on Blog Talk. You hear a lot of people talking about UCC code.
Correct, but now
the way business is done. So I have an idea what he's talking about. Pardon me?
That's not exactly what I'm talking about, but that is where the idea that you're speaking of comes from.
Right.
The idea that, and how could we but not come up with that conclusion, okay, knowing that, you know, Rousseau, Hobbes, and these others, they were writing this philosophical ideology long before our government was formed. And when we look at our form of government and how it operates and the wording and how it interacts with us, it seems to be at least a plausible conclusion, would you not agree, that what has happened in terms of the law is there has been constructed for each of us a straw man, if you will, an artificial person under the guise of citizen. separate and distinct from a natural human being. I think it's at least plausible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Highly. Because they sure like, it seems to me they sure act like we're less than human. To them, we're...
It's the only way, Bill, it's the only way to bridge the gap. And what I mean by bridging the gap is when you and I are in a room together talking, we recognize that two flesh and blood human beings, I have no authority over you and you have none over me. We're both on the same level. There's no superiority one over the other. We may have different skills. You may be superior at fishing to me. I may be superior at something that you're not good at. That's not the point. As far as two men, mano a mano, we're equal as human beings.
Yes.
So in order to gain power and authority over one, see, the old way was the divine right of kings, and that was a heavenly appointment by God, you know, chosen by God and appointed over men. Well, now you have this idea of a collective, and as much as many people may not like it, that's the representation in our government, and it's, I think, hidden because many of us, when we hear the words collective, we instantly think of communism or socialism or Marxism even. And they don't want to admit just how closely tied they are.
I'm looking more at the global elite. That, to me, that's the collective. They're the ones who, all the rest of these are just players on the board, and it's the global elite that are actually making the moves.
Well, that's true.
But they're making they're making the moves through the system that was set up.
Correct.
Right.
It's the system
that denies your sovereignty and your connection with God. It denies, under God's eyes, we are all equal until you enter into this construct that exists in the UCC codes.
Yeah. Well, even prior to the UCC, what you're doing is taking a creation of God, the flesh and blood human being, and transforming it into a construction of man. And therefore, because man has constructed it, it is submissive and under the authority and direction of man. Man is God, creator of it, and therefore has authority over it. It's really interesting, and it's a difficult read. I sent it out to some folks today. It's very long. And the person that wrote it actually breaks it down into a mathematical formula because it's so easy to get way off track in trying to define terms and the use of terms because we're so accustomed to hearing different words and they mean different things to different people.
Yeah.
Well, the court systems and the entire system of commerce is built upon this straw man, this new identity or this new designation which denies your sovereignty as a citizen and a human being as granted by the Creator. It's you subjected from the moment your birth certificate is entered. But that's... You
who,
understand...
Who am I talking with, anyway?
I'm Peg Leg.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think the easiest terms for the average guy to put it in, you know, I use the term a legal construct or a construct of the mind, but the simplest way to say it is it's make-believe, boys and girls.
It has to be, because there damn sure ain't no reality in what's going on. No realistic thought at all or anything.
But it's no different than the fact that they have bamboozled the public into giving up money in trade for currency. It's kind of like when you were a kid, you know, and you could trick your cousin, your little cousin, into giving you a dollar for a shiny quarter.
Would you explain to them how this begins from birth when you're issued a birth certificate? I have a feeling you understand this and can explain it well.
Well,
where the whole idea of a certificate of birth originates from?
Absolutely. You know, what he's talking about is a birth certificate. It has to do with commerce, and it has to do with shipping in particular. Okay, when a ship comes into port, it goes into its berth, and it has a cargo, and that cargo has to have a manifest or a bill of lading, if you will. So, you know, the mother goes into the hospital, and you're birthed as you come out of the birth canal, and you're issued a birth certificate. That is your bill of lading, okay? And basically, this is a legal fiction that's creating a straw man. It's an image of you that's not you. The law, interestingly enough, when we start looking into the law, if you're a sovereign human being, okay, and you answer only to God, your creator, the law has no way of dealing with you in any manner, directly or indirectly, because the law...
Can you say that again?
The law has no way of dealing with you because the law is not constructed to deal with a sovereign, which you would be as a flesh and blood human being. So there is constructed this facsimile of you in a document. Now, that certificate represents the productive capability of a lifespan. The average human today is about 72 years for a man. And we know that from 18 to 52 is the productive time frame. They can, I mean, imagine you're creating these certificates that actually have intrinsic value because they represent a productive entity. Well, if you don't have one, you don't exist, do you, in the system?
I told you I don't exist. I know.
Welcome, Linda.
Hello, Linda.
Hey, thanks. Is this Lonnie and Chad and Bill and Ron and Peg?
So, you know, the idea is that they, when you're born, they construct this fictitious this mirror image of you in the birth certificate. And it is through that all of this commerce is conducted. It's all fictitious or created. You know, a corporation is a legal fiction. In the law, a corporation is treated as a person. We just had, last year, or 2 years ago, the case before the Supreme Court, and a whole bunch of the Democrat liberals got their undies in a bunch because the court ruled that corporations can, as a matter of law, be treated as a person, which includes giving campaign contributions. They really didn't like that, which I don't understand, because the Democrats get a hell of a lot of campaign contributions from the bankers, more so than the Republicans, interestingly enough. But I don't think anybody bothers to look into that stuff.
You always hear them going after the wealthy on the right, but you'll never hear them mention the wealthy on the left. Never.
Well, you know, and why is that? I mean, just why is that this happens? See, we remain entertained. They play this game, and both sides play this game.
Yep.
You're none the wiser that, you know, all the chess pieces are moving just like you thought they were supposed to most of the time. You never really have a clue that you're not playing chess, but you never can figure out why it is. You always get beat.
Well, my question then would be, when you talk about the media, what percentage of the media do you think is totally in the tank for the progressive left?
Oh, God, I have no idea.
I would say about 90%.
I thought you were going to ask me something like, what percentage of the media actually understands any of this? I would say about 1/10.
Zero?
Thank
you.
agree with Ron on that. Yeah. I think 1% of people understand it. The others are just looking the other way and like, it'll work itself out.
Oh, it will again.
And make no mistake, boys and girls, if you don't think that the media is aware, I would only direct you to Bohemian Grove, and
mm-hmm.
that was started in the 1800s
yep.
by a couple of newspaper men. So if you're familiar with Bohemian Grove, there
yes,
you go.
People.
If you're not, then I'd suggest you do a little research and find out what they're all about.
What are they all about? They meet in secret.
Well,
yeah,
they
like
are,
the other
and,
secret one.
And you know, a lot of the, well, the majority, for whatever reason, have been Republican.
Wow.
Yes,
isn't
but what do they? What goes on there? You seem to
well,
know.
They do a little. They do a little bit of worshiping of an ancient deity named Moloch,
which is an owl.
Yep, they do a little mock child sacrifice, and you know, they're a bunch of weirdos. If you want to know the truth, I mean, well, they're evil bastards in my opinion.
Aren't they tied directly to the skull and crossbones?
You know, I don't know. I know there is a direct connection, and I used to know the connection, which is through the numerology 322, which happens to be my birthday. That kind of bothers me some, but it always has. I don't know. Have any of you guys watched the new series on Monday nights called Sleepy Hollow?
No.
I don't think I get that one.
Did you happen to watch last night?
No, I didn't get a chance.
I got to tell you, I am so blown away at what they're putting in that little one-hour program. My God, if you've got a chance to go back and watch the first couple of episodes, I would encourage everyone to do so. Last night's
what?
Episode had to do with the Lesser Key of Solomon.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if any of you know the whole story about Solomon, if you know what the Lesser Key of Solomon is, and I'm not trying to get into a Dan Brown novel, you know, the secret signs, but according to the history, Solomon was given a ring, and with that ring he was able to conjure up spirits.
Oh, that's right.
And that's who built Solomon's temple. And Hiram Abiff was
the
grand architect
in
control of these demons. Now, if you go and watch the show last night about the Lesser Key of Solomon, I was absolutely blown away. If you just do a Google search, the Lesser
secrets
Key of Solomon.
Secret societies feel people are ignorant, and they will hide their sorcery in plain sight.
Well,
they will put it right in your face.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And there you make a connection.
If you look at that Lesser Key of Solomon and then look at the Vatican, okay, I want you to
look at Washington,
D.C. Peter's Basilica, lay it next to Washington, D.C., and I think you're going to see a similarity between those. They depict the same thing, which is a series of seven constellations. And wow, I'm digressing. Jacob's
ladder.
No,
you're
not.
You're teaching and you're sharing. I'm impressed. The owl, the white owl, is represented by the United States Capitol building, some believe.
Yeah. Okay.
The founding fathers, as much as we revere them, we're all Masons.
Yes.
That is true.
They all studied and practiced things that we're not aware of that were done in secret.
A few years ago, I had a friend who was dating a girl who was, I don't know, some kind of Wiccan crap. And she was always trying to cast spells and stuff, and she couldn't get a tarot reading on me and other things. And somebody said something about spells, and I looked her in the face, and I told her, do your best, because it won't do you no good, because I know the spell breaker.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, you know, last night when I when I started the show, I read from Ecclesiastes, and it really blew me away when I was all done with the show and everything, and then I sat down, and one of the few television shows I'm enthralled to watch is this new Sleepy Hollow, and knocked me over with a feather. It's the Lesser Key of Solomon. I'm like, are you flipping kidding me?
On this ring, what was the inscription on this ring, and what was the connection between this ring and Hiram Abiff?
Well, I don't know. What was?
You don't
I
know.
I don't recall. I mean, I know, but I can't. I don't know, because I don't remember it, to be honest.
Oh. What happened to Hiram Abiff?
Well, he was murdered by one of the three apprentices.
Three ruffians.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Three workmen.
What died with him in his death?
Secrets.
Pardon?
The secrets.
And
secret knowledge.
Right. The pronunciation, right?
Yes.
The correct and proper pronunciation.
The name of God.
You're a smart dude.
According to the legend, and that is the Lesser Key of Solomon, in the Lesser Key of Solomon is actually a book that contains that secret knowledge, the proper name of God.
Is that the name you pray to?
Several different deities and demons. Well, you know, and the Jews were very, very particular. They would not say the name of God out loud. And when you read about taking the Lord's name in vain...
That's the name they're talking about.
That's the name they're talking about.
And guess what? It ain't Jesus.
They're not talking about swearing or using strong language. What they're talking about is invoking that name without good purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
That is the vanity, using that name for your own vain purposes. That's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Well, there's also restrictions against sharing the name without study and research, that it won't be valued.
Okay, yeah.
Our first name is Mouth.
But that has nothing to do with Obamacare.
That is correct. And Obama has nothing to do with any of that either, I'm sure, right?
You never know.
Uh-huh.
Even if
I'm thinking about everybody else.
I think he's just a homo playboy personally, but that's just me.
Well,
well, I think it's pretty definite.
When Kerry and Bush were running for president, I believe someone asked them, Tim Russert, asked them about Skull and Bones, and that they're both members of this secret brotherhood.
What did they both tell you? Yeah.
I can't tell you it's a secret, and we ain't going to talk about it.
Yep. I think Bush's actual comment was, "Huh, if I told you, I'd have to kill you."
He said it with a smile, but
there's a lot of that going around.
The truth is, men should know good from bad. You should just know good from bad.
Well, sure, but the thing is, I don't think everybody's playing the same game.
The devil doesn't come to you breathing fire. He comes to you with a smile and a pat on the back.
They're more self-servers. Their only interest is if they can benefit from it. That's why you know the atheists, why they even came around, was the whole ideology there was, logically, you can't deny something the way they do. By doing so, you're admitting it exists.
I wish to God I could remember the article that I read either yesterday or Sunday. Is it really struck me the language? You know, when people say things, sometimes words just jump off the page at me. I told you before, you know, Obama talking about a red line. Okay.
Right.
That was not, you know, that choice of words was not an accident. Nobody says, oh, I've drawn a red line. No, there's a line in the sand, perhaps. Yeah, that's common speech. Red line specifically had to do with the red line agreement in the Middle East dating back to 1948, the end of the World War II.
Mm-hmm.
In this article, and it was a one of the higher-ups in the Democrat Progressive Party talking about this so-called shutdown, and I want to say it was a female, but I could be wrong, but they said that, you know, these damn Tea Partiers are constantly nipping at our heels.
Amen.
And all I could think of was Genesis. I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent, and you will strike at its head, and it will nip at your heels.
Wow.
So there's a little thing she's trying to tell you, that you're just a bunch of serpents.
Yeah, it's, well, look, the rhetoric gets pretty crazy. I don't know if you guys heard the story on Mitch McConnell, but I can, I'm giving a hat tip to Glenn because it was his story from yesterday. He actually had Mike Lee on, and he was asking Mike if he knew what he was talking about, and the senator that said this in a so-called private meeting. Well, Mike Lee, on the air on this TV show, did not blink. He just smiled and said, I can't talk about it. So it sounds to me like Glenn's sources were pretty correct, and he gave it a whole 24 hours before he was going to reveal the senator who said these evil things. And what this was reported to be have said by this senator is that any member of the Senate who is involved with the Tea Party, specifically the Freedom Works, and the Senator's Conservative Fund founded by Jim DeMint, is a traitor to this body. Okay, and so then he did reveal this today, and it was Mitch McConnell. Well,
yep.
So here's, this is what a worm he is. So here's how, what I wrote. I went to this guy's website, good old McConnell, and I sent him a little blurb, and I said, Dear Senator McConnell, it has come to my attention and to that of many others that you consider members of the Senate body to be traitors if they are part of the Tea Party, particularly Freedom Works, and or the Senate Conservative Fund, Jim DeMint. Well, sir, I think the Benedict Arnold in the room here is you. For your information, the Tea Party and the folks born out of it stands for liberty, private property, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and individual sovereignty. By those statements the other day from you, it appears you do not cherish the idea that was America at its founding. Therefore, I hope you do not want a long career in the Senate, because once this goes viral, you will be lucky to be voted for dog catcher. And then I sent it. So, I'm sure I'm on every watch list.
Well, you know, I've been telling you guys forever that that guy was a skill and
a
scumbag.
Me and Mitch went around numerous times before. Mitch McConnell is one of the problems with the elected when I speak of self-servers. He is in there to fill his own pockets and to feed his own ego. He doesn't care about his constituents any more than the Democrats do. He's when I talk about
like Obama.
When I talk about the establishment being the same as the Democrats, same crap, different piles. I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
Mitch McConnell. I'm talking about
absolutely.
John McCain. I'm talking about Lindsey Graham.
Yep. Yep. There's a guy going up against him next time around, and his name's Matt Bevins from Kentucky. And I saw him on Glenn today. He was awesome. So we'll see what he
yeah,
comes
he
out like.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty smart fella. So, you know, that's part of the problem that, you know, I was describing in the beginning here with the straw man and this whole thing. One of the ways that this system works, and that's why I was going back to
uh-huh.
Ecclesiastes and what I read last night, and that is that conciliation.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Conciliation approves many wrong things, or something to that effect. You know, it's your compliance. And the thing is,
yep,
many times you're complying without even understanding or realizing that you're complying.
Exactly, yeah.
Because you don't understand the game that's being played on you. They're using words that sound familiar, but they don't mean what you think they mean.
Well, is that part of the Hegelian dialectic?
No, that's part of, the esoteric. They're fooling the crap out of you, and you just don't even know it.
No, they're talking in code right in front of you.
Yep.
It's like spelling words in front of a child.
That's the word. Yeah.
You're putting the word out there, but the child still doesn't understand it.
Well, also, you know, we've got to look at the fruit that they bear, and you've got to see what they do, not just what comes out of their mouths. Their actions speak much louder, and the problem is by the time they start doing their little actions, it's almost too late.
Okay, here's the quote from Ecclesiastes. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. In other words, stand fast. For conciliation pacifies great offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Your acceptance, your consent gives legitimacy to much offenses.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Look at the conciliation of 1913 with the IRS.
Yep.
And the introduction of the Fed. You got the introduction of the
United
Social
Nations
Security
later.
Tax. The
oh,
Social
yeah.
Security Tax.
Medicare.
Well, look.
HOA.
No, well, what about the NSA and what's going
Hate
on
it.
Now? But.
Good back.
But.
Well,
but,
they're all, their stuff is
but,
melting down.
What have we done about it? What can we do about it?
Well, as long as it's now, I don't really give a damn if we do anything. I'm serious. Their machinery is melting down. I was read about it today.
Why do you think I told you guys, and you know, only half tongue in cheek, that every single time, and I mean this with all sincerity,
rice cookers.
Every single time you have any kind of electronic communications on the internet, on the telephone, on a CB radio, use as many of their damned buzzwords, keywords, as you possibly can. Can you imagine if everyone tomorrow in the United States of America who sent an email, a text, or had a phone call used five of the key search words in a sentence? It would be meltdown. Their servers would be done.
I know. You're right. Absolutely. What else did they say? Oh, food preppers, grow your own, constitution, tea party, liberty,
bomb,
sovereignty.
Jihad, you know, backpack, pressure cooker. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of, you don't have to be
White
terribly
House.
Creative. Yeah.
So I can't remember who said it, but they're starting to call the White House the Spite House. I love it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get his way, he strikes out at the public. Usually, the ones who don't support him, he finds a way to go after them in some way or another.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this trucker thing. That's going to be cool.
All right, now they're saying what? 3,000 is going to be on there this weekend? That's what they're saying, 3,000.
I heard it's going to be more.
All of this nonsense that's going on right now is simply a way, an attempt, a feeble attempt at that, of making this non-shutdown shutdown matter.
Yep.
It's trying to get your attention because evidently they don't have it. So they want to make sure you know that we own you.
Yep.
And look what we can do. Watch this. Oh, it's going to get way worse. We're not going to let you eat, you know. And, I mean, they only own you if you let them.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You're right, Mike. You talk about eating. Now, look what they did to the guys overseas. They're allowed two meals a day now? That's stupid.
and that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Well, they want you pissed off about it. That's what they
what,
want.
What guys is he talking about?
They want it to be pissed off.
They want it to hurt. They want you angry, and they want to make it painful.
Well, I'm a little weird because I like to look at what they do and then study it and then turn it around and use it against them.
Or laugh in their faces. That's one way. I mean, Rand Paul was laughing at some of these idiots on whatever CMS, LSD, or CNN, or I can't remember which one it was. You know, he does. He just, he absolutely almost cracks up because they're so damn stupid and so entrenched in Marxism and Keynesian economics and socialism. They have no clue. They don't even know how the government's supposed to work. It's unbelievable. And he has to educate them every single time.
It's become a popularity contest and a pad your pocket contest. We've never cracked down on the insider investing and trading that goes on that makes them filthy rich. We've never held them accountable. They seem to, the laws don't apply to them the way they do to us.
It's nuts. I think what you just described
about,
you know,
well, healthcare is the law. Well, we got immigration laws, and I have yet to see you do anything about forcing them.
Not to mention, Bill, that when you have an executive branch going in and trying to gut these laws and rearrange them to suit his own fancy, like, and he's not the only or the first, please, let's not mince words. We know this goes back for decades. They all do it. You don't have a republic. You have a banana republic. When you're picking and choosing and you're, you know, gutting the whole branches of separation of powers, my God, you don't have to be a second-year constitutional study to know that, for heaven's sake. This is crazy. It's crap. We live under crap. It's tyranny. I'm sick of it.
Am I? I have this dumb question. I'm sure, Ron, you can give me some answers. Have you ever had one president that you could not impeach? Why can't we impeach this son of a bitch and get him out of there?
Well,
there's no will to do it.
Kennedy either. They shot him, though.
Well,
yeah.
That makes him a martyr.
A martyr.
A martyr. Who wants that?
Well, exactly. Look,
I want to see him
there
get
in
his...
There's no way in hell you're going to impeach a black president. It's just not going to happen. You'll be a racist, period. Because it will be all about the fact that he's black and nothing about anything else.
What if we cut off his right hand and then impeach the white and the Arab at him instead?
I mean, seriously,
yeah.
There's no way to teach this guy because he's black. Is that
exactly
what we're saying?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, this has been their trump card since they put him up on, you know, on this pedestal, because they knew they could play that card. That was why he was their choice, not because he's brilliant.
It's like garlic to a vampire or werewolf or whatever, you know?
He was purposely picked and groomed all his life for this.
I am perfectly content to allow this to just play itself out.
Yep.
You don't have a choice.
I understand, but I mean, I told a good friend of mine who was just beside himself in the first election, and I said, "Look, you know, not because he was black or is black or half black or whatever. I mean, that just doesn't mean shit to me."
I don't like black people.
What he is, or
I'm not afraid to say it. I don't like black people.
I don't have a black people
with
at all.
Afraid to say it, and I don't know what that makes me, but I don't like black people, and I don't have a problem with saying it.
Well, I just like to paint with a broad brush, but hey, each to their own, I guess, you know.
I haven't met every black person, but the ones that I have met and I have been around and the ones that I see on television and in rap music, I don't care for them.
Hey, Cole.
This shouldn't be about skin color. This should be about what's in a person's heart and the fruits
of their
hair.
Why are people scared of being called a racist? Right? It's like that polarizes and that makes
white people impotent
because you're afraid to speak out or to...
I'm not.
Well, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to speak out. I've known plenty of morons, black, white, and other. So,
yeah,
I mean,
look,
I think
not,
just putting a label on it and saying I don't like black people is kind of short-sighted.
I guess.
See, I'm not attacking anybody
Harry,
for their color. I'm
Harry
going
Reed
against
is,
the ideology
did,
of the red. Communist red is why I hate him. That's the color I see when I look at him.
All right. Well, maybe,
are you interested?
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. That's how I feel.
Well, you know, you're welcome to your opinion.
You're entitled to that feeling.
Absolutely, and I'm not going to sit
I'm
here
not,
and try
I'm
to
not acting. I'm not acting out. I don't. I'm respectful in public to everyone. Okay, but I'm not. I don't go out of my way to harm or bother anybody of a different group, but I just really don't like, I don't like black people. My dad didn't like black people, and, you know, and I'm not, and I don't care if you call me a racist. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Oh, go ahead. Is that you, Sandy?
No, it's me, Mr. Bill Strong from Florida.
Hey, oh, Mr. Robert. How you doing?
Hey,
you know,
hey Robert.
Just call me your token Jewish jihad.
Oh.
Pressure bomber.
So what have you heard today, Robert, that's got you wondering what
Bill Strong. The more I listen, I heard his demand. I heard the president's demands on this at 3 o'clock this afternoon, right? I listened to this guy.
His demands.
This guy.
Well, I guess he is holding a hostage, right?
I think Congress should call for impeachment before they default. I really do.
Can they impeach themselves?
I think they should call for impeachment call today, because we will default. That's what he wants.
I need someone.
I think the military should arrest him for treason.
I want somebody out there, anybody out there, to explain to me how we end in default, what that means, and how do we get there. If they don't raise the debt limit, if they don't negotiate, if they don't surrender to fully funding the ACA, how do we get to a default? How is that possible?
Ron, he called his own self a deadbeat. He's a deadbeat.
But how do we get to a default? How do we get to that bridge? How do we cross the bridge into default in this scenario?
Because we don't pay our bills on time. I
guess
we
pay
our
on time. Hell, the
Robert,
government
never pays on time.
Robert,
you're not because
we
the interest on
enough,
the notes
enough,
on the treasury that, notes because the interest on the treasury notes are due on the 17th.
One at a time.
The interest on the $17 trillion of debt, which is supported by treasury notes, treasury bills. They issue bonds and notes, and the majority of them are held by China. And
Federal Reserve. Hold on. The majority. This is what I was driving at, though. This is what I was driving at. The majority of treasury notes of debt is held by us. We owe it
to ourselves. Ain't that crazy?
It's owed to the bankers. If the interest payments aren't paid, it's default.
Right, but if we go back to the game, the collective, okay? The collective owes the collective the debt. The only portion of the debt that is held outside of the United States is pretty small. It's actually about $4.5 trillion. The Fed could easily wash part of that debt, forgive it, and then roll over enough treasuries to fund the $4.6 trillion that's held outside of the U.S.?
I still don't see it as a default.
What would happen, or what is possible, is that if we allow it to go to the debt limit and beyond without increasing the debt limit, government would have to begin shutting down agencies, cutting programs. They would have to defund programs. And guess what? Many of these programs, as I was talking about Social Security, if the money has not been appropriated, then it is not, quote-unquote, a debt of the United States. Many of these programs are just like Social Security. Yes, there's a $220 trillion liability going into the foreseeable future if you're using actuarial accounting. But that is assuming that Congress is going to appropriate the money to make good on that promise. If they don't appropriate it, there is no debt.
By the way, Rod, your new $100 bills came out today.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Uh-oh.
The new $100 bills came out today, and they claimed that it feels like cloth.
Oh, my God.
It's like cloth.
So what I'm telling you is that it won't technically be a default. It won't feel nice here at home, but they're not going to default on their obligations. In particular to those who are still allowing them some established credit. But that also assumes that in order to continue operating, that the government needs credit at all. Because after all, they have the full faith and credit of the American people, which is just another way of saying, you're our slaves, and we're going to continue to operate off the sweat of your brow and off of your back. You do the work, and we'll reap the benefits.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Griffin was talking about when he says every single time, you know, there's somebody's borrowing money and somebody doesn't pay it back, whether it's China or Russia or Iran, you know, guess who gets to foot the bill? The poor little serf.
Exactly.
The American taxpayer.
The sucker called taxpayer. And then all of those now, and I got to say, and, you know, unfortunately, I think in that scenario, much of the anger and outrage is going to be misplaced because you have a very large segment of our population that is absolutely dependent upon government largesse, the benevolence of government handing out, you know, I know we talk about redistribution, but truly in contrast to the amount of taxes that we're subjected to versus the amount of money that goes out the door or the amount of currency that goes out the door in the form of entitlement programs, it's pretty small. We don't cover those programs with our contributions.
I think what's going to happen is that the anger
is going to be misdirected.
Right.
Because the people that are dependent on government, if they suddenly find themselves without that government check every month, they're going to be angry at the Republicans and point the finger of blame at conservatives, the Tea Party, and everybody else, when in fact who they should be angry with is the party, the people that encouraged them to become dependent in the first place.
Yes, in the first place.
The people that enabled their dependency and kept stroking them on the head, telling them good little serf, you know, you're that's right. We're going
to
fight for your rights
to be on the plantation. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
To be on the plantation.
And that's where the anger should be directed at, but I don't believe
it. Oh, I agree.
Now, there are some, like those two in that article that I sent you this morning, Linda, that, you know, they got the mail and saw their premiums going up, and they're like, wait a minute. I'm all for everybody having health care, but I didn't know I was going to be the one paying for it personally.
Well, who the hell did they think was going to get sapped for it? Jesus Christ. I can't take this ignorance.
The whole thing is a debacle.
I have heard from several people the last few days that have been Democrats. My uncle was a lifelong Democrat that have said they are switching parties because of the health care bill. They are no longer going to be voting Democrat because of this health care bill. And I got to tell you, that
what I want someone to tell all those folks out there, like those people in Oregon, welcome to paying your fair share, folks. Isn't it great?
There you go.
Because I've been doing it for 30 damned years, but hey, that's okay.
I know. Well, you know, I know you guys are running out of time. Are you guys going to cut it off in a few minutes?
Yeah, we got about 9 minutes left.
Okay, well, you know, all I can say is there are many of us, and I know you kids at Hootenholler really understand self-sufficiency, and I know there's many ways because we have entrepreneurial spirit in this country, people who use their noggins, they use their God-given talents and their common sense, and they can make it. If they cut off my check next month or next week or whatever, you know, I've got a little bit saved up. I'd get my little butt to North Dakota and start feeding them hungry frackers up there because they're going to be making $100,000 a year, and they got to eat. So there you go. There's ways, you know.
All these great ideas and inventions and stuff you see out on the things, the guns, the everything. I mean, you look around, all these things, the government didn't invent a damn one of them.
Necessity is the mother of all invention.
The government produces nothing but misery.
The American people on the whole are pretty ingenious. And I know you've done it. You went to someone's house and they put something together and you looked at it and thought, holy crap. Because, you know, it was an amazing that how they made something work or how they did something and this and that. We have that kind of spirit inside of us. We always have. We are the ones that invented all these gadgets and stuff out through here. It's been the people that invent that. The government hasn't invented crap.
Exactly, Bill. There's no wealth creation in an agency. All they know how to do is take and make misery. You know, look, I have not read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, but I'm on week 2 and week 3 of Hillsdale College for Economy 101, and I love it, and I'm learning so much. So just bear in mind, just take a little tiny course, and it's actually free.
There's news on CNN is saying the U.S. is going to halt military aid to Egypt after the coup and turmoil. So they're putting Egypt back in the news.
Because Muslim Brotherhood's not in charge. That's who they were aiding. They wasn't aiding the Egyptians. They were aiding the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, guys, I'm going to go to the chat room. God bless, and thank you so much for taking my call. It's been a blast. You're doing a great job.
Bye, Linda.
Everyone.
I can't believe they're just going to let Egypt go to the Hello? They're going to let Egypt. Peg Leg. Pete,
where are you from in Florida, Pete?
Pensacola area.
Oh, I'm down in Sarasota, Florida, Sarasota County.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as I said, when Morsi was in charge, Obama was all about giving aid there and Kerry promising aid there and stuff. But when the Muslim Brotherhood started losing out and stuff, the Egyptian military leader is the most popular man in Egypt because of what he's doing against the Muslim Brotherhood. The whole deal in Libya, the whole deal in Tunisia, and then over into Syria, we're supporting the rebels and stuff and this and that. And then Benghazi fits into all that. It's just a big circle of stuff there. And before we are cutting off our people here, we should be cutting those people off. I agree.
Well, I agree with that. There's a little hole in your theory, and I'm not trying to...
We should be taking that further. We should not be aiding the Egyptian rebels one iota. It's a civil war, and actually it's not even a civil war. It's an invasion. And we shouldn't be get the hell out of Afghanistan and anywhere else. We're putting ourselves in harm's way and stuff and inciting a lot of things for even being there. But the fact is,
If you can't pay for your own people, you've got no business giving money to other people. And speaking about that, and the that brings in the immigration deal again. You've got about $80 billion a year goes across your border to Mexico's economy, or more than that maybe. And it's all
crazy.
Yeah. A lot of it's drug money, and a lot of it's remittances from people who are over here and working illegally. You can't take care of your own people. And you this ideology that makes people think that they're entitled and then they don't want to work, that's killing the country. In my area, there are jobs. But you can't get people to take the damn jobs. Because they'll make more money sitting at home drawing benefits and stuff.
Huh?
Eventually...
The job can't be that good if welfare and food stamps pay better, because that doesn't pay much, I don't think.
It pays about $27,000 a year here.
I mean that's better than having your hand out.
Well, food stamps alone, people like three in a family get 500 and something.
Average worker starting out makes about $25,000 a year.
Well, depending on where you live, you can make it work. Some places be easier than others. You couldn't live in a major city.
You got to figure, where I live at, the price of living is a fourth of where you live at. And if you was in California, it'd be a tenth.
Oh, where the heck do you live?
Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah. And
the hills of Indiana.
Money's not the thing here like it is in them other places and stuff. It's here, neighbors look out for their neighbors. Family looks out for family. And
you've got to.
And
got good values, Midwestern values.
Yeah. We got those values when we were raised.
Yeah.
I think if we had more people like that, it would be
just for fun of it. The three of us are related.
It's a different culture in big cities. I've lived in big cities. It's a different culture.
Well, I've been in big cities. I spent 6 years riding all across this country on my motorcycle, and I've been from one coast to the other and into the bigger cities, Los Angeles. I've been Houston, Dallas, New Orleans.
Well, then you know that it's a different culture. There's a different culture.
Yes, everywhere you go, there's a different culture. But I found
I've been in New York City, and I've watched someone.
In the city, more to help their neighbor than they are in the country.
Well, I've been in New York City in Manhattan in the morning on business. I've watched someone fall down in the street, and I watch people just step over the person and keep on moving. And someone eventually came and helped them, but the majority of the people stepped over the person and kept on moving and wouldn't do anything to lift a finger to help this person.
But ain't that sad?
I'm talking about hundreds of people walking by.
Oh, yeah, I believe you.
And you want to know something? Well, I feel bad, but I walk by, too, because that's what everyone else was doing.
We got a minute left.
I want to tell everybody.
It was nice
talking
to you.
You got to put the politics aside and think of this. And that's that's where it comes into that family thing. You've got to look out for your fellow Americans, just like they are your family. They are, your neighbors and stuff. You've got to look out for them, and they've got to look out for you.
Amen.
You can't trust this government. I don't care which side. Because both sides are playing for themselves, not for you. And
all I've got to say is God bless everyone. Keep your eyes open.
Take us out, cuz.
All I've got to say is I'd like to thank everybody that called in tonight. It was great.
Yes.
And I wish everybody would, and I don't understand why half the world doesn't understand what's going on, but maybe we can get out there and figure it out, get more people to listen and understand. God bless you all, and we'll see you next Tuesday on Hoop and a Holler.
Hee-haw.
Good night, Robert.
Good night.